can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. War after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
Chapter 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon. The Bible study for tonight. Oh, I'm going to hit into it tonight. Very controversial. And what else is new? In any case, I'm going to talk about Daniel's dream of the four beasts. I told someone I would do it today, and I'm going to do it. And also, the four world empires of Daniel chapter 7. We're going to talk about that tonight. See how far we get, and part two tomorrow, the 70 weeks, we'll see how far we get there. I usually get pretty ambitious, but we'll see how long it takes us. There is a lot of misconception being strewed out by Calvinists that are involved, preterists, British Israel movement, Arnold Murray of Shepherd's Chapel. Oh, goodness gracious, Freemasonry, all kinds of different directions people are coming from. You know, what's that, Harbinger, oh, man, they're filled up with it. CDs being sold, books being put out, and the scriptures are being massacred horribly. They're attacking the King James Bible. They're coming up with this name of Yeshua as the overall name for Jesus, and that's the name of a fallen angel, Yeshua. And they're attacking the King James Bible, the name of Jesus, and the end times events, trying to get them all out of whack. And boy, I tell you, it's like an assault this past month or so. It's like organized. And honestly, in the analysis and people you know, you don't know whether it's coming from Calvinists, Freemasons, Jesuits, COINTELPRO, Wiccan, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Either way, the scriptures will come complete, will come true. And you know, there's not one person in the history of man, and including the supernatural, other than God himself, that knows when a rapture is going to happen. There's no individual ever been born that could say there's no rapture, or that there is a rapture before the tribulation, or the rapture is mid-tribulation, or the rapture is post-tribulation. Nobody can say it, because the Bible's not written that way. The Bible is written in prophecy, so no one human being, nor Satan, with all the knowledge he has and the fallen angels, it don't matter. It's written in such a way that only God knows when the tribulations will begin. Only God knows when the rapture is going to happen. Nobody else knows. You ever notice that? Nobody, no human being has the mental or dimensional capacity to say, I'm a scholar and I figured it out finally. Nobody can ever claim that because God has it written in such a way through man, of course, 40 authors, 66 books, over 1,500 year period. It's written in such a way that you'll know when it happens, but you won't know when. And this Hagee Mark Blitz nonsense about four blood moons, no, four blood moons, can they make something happen with their technology? Sure they can. It'd be a fake, though. They can make it happen. Even the very elect will be deceived if they don't know the scripture. Four blood moons. There's only one blood moon in the seven-year tribulation, the 70 weeks. There's only one blood moon. That's the sixth seal. And when you see that blood moon, let me tell you something. You won't be going out there with a pair of binoculars. I assure you of that. Because preceding it will be a major earthquake, a shifting plates, a ground-hugging earthquake that will destroy everything mankind has ever put up. I would not want to be in a tall building. You understand this? And there'll be no question whether or not, say, well, Harp did this. Well, he won't have a computer to say that. He won't have no computers. See, that's the reason for the earthquake in mid-tribulation is the announcement of the coming wrath of God upon this unrepentant earth. It's coming. I don't mean to be negative, but when you're missing 500,000 children every year, give or take a couple thousand here and there, every year, you don't think God's not going to come raining down on this country, on this planet, on a people that's unrepentant? You better believe he is. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And it's all being saved up. And when the wrath of God comes down, let me tell you something. It won't be Bagley saying that there's some stream down here in Australia or some stream down here in West Virginia turned red. Oh, we're in it already. Oh, we're in the sixth trumpet already. Why? Well, there's a red river in West Virginia. It turned red overnight. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, family, you'll know it. You see, this just drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. These people actually are serious. These are theologians with a capital T that comes up with all this stuff. You got big hailstones in Texas. Oh, we're in the sixth vial judgment. What are you talking about? You're talking 100-pound hailstones. Now, why would God send down 100-pound hailstones, 100 pounds hailstone each, 90 pounds to 100-pound hailstone, one of them? Now, why would he do that? Isn't that kind of overkill? No, it's not. Because in the end times, as in the days of Noah, so will the days of the end times be. That means that the Nephilim, the giants, supernatural beings, will be on this earth then. The 200 million that the Bible talks about is not a 200-man army of China. Oh, my gosh. Or UN army of 200 million. They're grasping for straws, man. And they're in a pumpkin patch. And they're looking for straws. It's not there, you see. No, because you're going to have Nephilim on this earth during the wrath of God, as in the days of Noah. And it will require 100-pound hailstones for these monsters that will be on this planet then, you see. God knows what he's doing. Let God tend to his business and us tend to ours. And ours is a great commission of bringing others to Jesus Christ. End of story. And taking, well, maybe number one. Number two is taking care of family and friends and people that are close to us and divine appointments of people you don't know to witness to those that he brings you to. That's our business. Is it for me to climb Mount Everest because I always wanted to on my bucket list? No. I don't give a hoot about Mount Everest. Wouldn't want to anyway. Well, you can say you've done it. Who cares? I mean, that's my opinion. I climbed it. I mean, I never did. Let's say I climbed it. Spent all that money, all that training. You climb up Mount Everest, man. Here you go. Three quarters, halfway up. Okay, you make a base camp or something or another, whatever they do. Here we go. We're climbing Mount Everest. It's my bucket list, you know. So I get up there. I stand around, assuming I made it, didn't freeze my butt off or get my toes froze off. And here I am. I'm looking around. I'm on Mount Everest. I'm on Mount Everest. Take a picture. Here I am. There I am. Show everybody. Here I am. Okay. It's cold up here. I bet it's cold up there, you think? Okay. And so we're going to head back down now, unless you want us to live up there or something, but you won't get any mail, I guarantee it. So you're going to head back down. Oh, you get back down to base camp. You're tired. You're cold. I want to go home. I want to go home. So you go home. You brag about it for a week or so. I don't know. Maybe you get on the People's Magazine, whatever. But after a month, it's all done. Over. I'm John Jones. Yeah, hi, John Jones. What can I do for you? I climb Mount Everest. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got you. Sure you did. Oh, I got a picture right here. Look. Look, that's me. Well, I'll be darned. Look at there. That is you, ain't it? You really did that? Yeah. Well, I'll buy you a beer, Coca-Cola. Iced tea, whatever. Slap on the back a few times if it goes that far. Well, nice meeting you. Yeah, good climbing there, buddy. Okay. Everybody goes about their daily business. They don't care. Now, there's going to be somebody else climbing, too. There's somebody else. And it's going to repeat itself over and over. We're here to worship the Lord. To lead others to Jesus Christ from eternity. Not climb Mount Everest for some days of glory in a picture that in about 5 or 10 years we'll may even lose it. Who knows? Then from then on, we won't even believe you anyway. Family, your treasures are in heaven, not on earth. That's the point. That's the point. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and let's just move right along before I get started down a rabbit trail, y'all. For those of you that's not the South, y'all means to one person. We're saying y'all to one person. It means all three of you. Three of you. Mm-hmm. Your soul, excuse me, your body, your soul, and the spirit. Yep, that's three. That's a plural. That's why we say y'all to one person. You got three in you. Your own little trinity, per se, body, soul, and spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all threes. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, we dedicate this Bible study, Lord, to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, to lead us tonight in this Bible study. Father, to look at the future times, Father, to give us insight, wisdom, discernment. That, Father, we can talk about it tonight and try to discern what the truth is through the Holy Scriptures. Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our sister Chloe, and Father, their family to bring them together. Father, that their daughters come together, that their families will come back to God. And Father, we're praying for them. And there's other people praying for them. Father, they're going through an attack like many of us are. Father, to cover us with the blood of Jesus. And Father, today we pray on the full armor of God, as we did today. And Lord, we call upon you for the blood of Jesus to protect us over this Wiccan and this witchcraft that's being sent our way. Father, to open up the eyes of those we speak to, that Lord, you'll open their eyes to the Holy Spirit, that they'll see what we're talking about, that they'll have the questions, they'll have the seek the knowledge. And Father, it'll lead into them accepting Jesus. And give us the words to speak. Father, when we don't have the Bible or we're out and about, Father, in these divine appointments, that Father will be given the words to speak to lead someone to Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you, Father, for the King James Bible that's our true Word of God. And we thank you, Father, right now for these opportunities we have in this Bible studies, in this network, that, Lord, you gave it to us through your intervention. Father, we thank you for this. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, Daniel 7, we'll start with that tonight. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Daniel 7:8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands, thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Okay. The first, when you read Daniel's dream of the four beasts, the depicting, what it does is depicts four world empires. Now, needless to say, preterists, Calvinists, and I have to identify it like such because they have a completely different interpretation that is proven wrong. I'd like to say as an opinion, Well, when you start asking them questions about the end times events, they can't answer the questions. The bear they consider to be Russia. You see, they make it almost like it seems like today, with completely different, like the eagle's wings, they consider the United States. The United States, Americans, get over it. We're a colony of England. We're not even a country. We're not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. Everybody thinks it's going to be the new Jerusalem. No. It all shifts back to the Middle East. America is like a in the wind. Man, get over it. We're not even an established country. We've been lied to about that. I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Our history books are worthless. I love my country and all that, but you got to speak the truth. We're a colony of England, like Canada and Israel and Australia. Be sucked up into the 10 kings. Americans, you're part of the North American Union, one of the kings. North American Union. But the first six chapters of Daniel, you'll find are mainly historical when you read through them. Talking about Nebuchadnezzar. I never can say that darn word name twice the same way. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, I think that was a better way. It talks about and the Belshazzar's doom, announcing the handwriting on the wall, the decree of Darius, and the den of lions, all historical, the first six chapters. The last six chapters are prophetical. Daniel's dream and the visions in chapter 7 and chapter 8, which actually occurred during the reign of Belshazzar. He is a king of Babylon, and it's before Medes and the Persians rose to power. That's significant. When you read the first chapter 7, 1 to 4, in chapter 7, you have Daniel's vision, as I read you, of these four great beasts. And they come up from the sea. And the great sea is the Mediterranean. But what these do, they represent four world empires that have happened, have occurred, and are going to occur. Now remember, this is prophetic. This is not talking about the past. It's talking about the future. And some of the past. Uh-huh. Now, I'm just going to tell you what they are. The prophet Daniel saw these four beasts out of the sea of people, the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the first year of the reign of Belshazzar, co-ruler with his father, Nabonidus, and the four beasts represent the four empires, the Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persia Empire, the Greek Empire, and the last is the Roman Empire. So, the lion represents Babylon. They even say that the Sphinx and another one they have someplace, I forgot where it was, it's not just a sphinx, it's a lion. Of course, it's all speculation, but the way they look at it and they draw it where it has fallen apart, they say it's just a, maybe it's like a lion, just got a haircut. You understand? The mane was cut off. I mean, in other words, the rocks fell away from it. It's a great big thing. Anyway, and the pyramids of Giza, the pyramids, the three, family, those are power generators, portals. That's what they are. Open up portals, fallen angels. Oh boy. The eagle's wings is not America. I guess if there's preterist or Calvinist or Christian identity folks or Yeshua folks there listening, they're probably twisting in their panties right now. The lion represents Babylon. These eagle's wings it talks about, what it does, that suggests the swiftness of conquest. The wings being plucked away, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, his insanity. And the rest of verse 4 is his recovery and conversion. You can say the wings being plucked away, they're going to go probably as far as to say that's America's demise. Oh, man, they can just have fun with this all day long. But remember, the Bible's written for the Middle East. For Israel is God's timepiece. Not America. Not Europe. So you look at it from their perspective. So the wings being plucked, referring to Nebuchadnezzar. See, I already told you, I say it different ways every time. His insanity. And then you read the more of the verses, his recovery and his final conversion. Now, Daniel saw this great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, is stirring up the four winds of the sky. Out of the sea came four beasts. So, Mediterranean Sea is used here as kind of like a symbolic of the population of the world. If you go to Revelation 13:1 and 17:1, in those scriptures, it's world population. The sea is considered his people. The four beasts, as I said before, is the four kingdoms which rule the known world. The four winds, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, going to John 1 verse 8. And you know, it could also mean that the Holy Spirit is causing these four kingdoms to carry out God's plan for the world. So if the four winds are not symbolic of the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be concerned, because we know that God's in complete control of all the kingdoms of the world anyway. The Lord enables kings to and kingdoms to rise and fall, puts an end to them. Romans 13:1. Your rebel groups tend to think that I had someone ahead of me in one network about three or four years ago, a broadcaster. They knew I was going to talk about Romans 13, where God ordains all government. And right before they went off the air, and I was getting ready to come on, and this is supposed to be Christians, he said, forget Romans 13. I'm like, huh? Why did you say that for? Right before I went on the air, and it went on the air. But, man, you don't forget any scripture. You just don't say, well, just don't read that scripture. Forget it. Blew my mind away. And they call themselves Christian. How do you do that? You don't just throw away any scripture. It's important. We're responsible for every word in that Bible. The Lord enables kings to and kingdoms to rise and puts an end to them either way. So the kingdoms of the world are referred to as beasts, because these kingdoms are cruel as wild beasts, vicious and ruthless. It's about Babylon, the first one. Transformation of beast to a man is another way of looking at it. Nebuchadnezzar, spiritual conversion is a really significant fact there. He lived for many years, you know, like a wild beast, but then he came to understand that God as deity is the highest truth, and he rules over the kingdoms of the world. What leaders are going to come to that conclusion nowadays? In 7:5, the bear is not Russia. Man, get over it. The bear is Medo-Persia. He was raised up on one side and had three ribs in the mouth between his teeth. And they said to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." It was raised up to a greater importance than the media. And the three ribs, which it held in its mouth, is representative of the three sections of the Babylonian Empire. And you know, if you remember, if you read your history, that these were sacked by the Medes and the Persians that was under Cyrus. And so Babylon in the way east, Egypt in the south, and the Lydian kingdoms in the Asia Minor. The bear raised up to one side. Why would it say that? That is symbolic of the Persians being more powerful than the Medes, M-E-D-E-S. Three ribs are symbolic of the three key victories that the Medo-Persian Empire had, the defeat of King, what's his name, Croesus, C-R-O-S-E-S-U-S, by Cyrus, and the great conquest of the Sardis, the capital of Lydia, in 547 B.C., and the conquest of Egypt by Cambyses of 525 B.C., and then the suppression of the Ionian revolt by a number of cities in Asia Minor, in Turkey, from 499 to 493 B.C. And so this kingdom was commanded to take over and conquer more territory. The Medo-Persian Empire. So that brings us to the Greek. It brings us to the leopard. The leopard's not Iran. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, these four wings of a bird speak of the very rapid expansion of the Grecian Empire. And you know that four is the number of the world. It's the Greek Empire, four parts. And this is, after all, by the way, death after the death of Alexander of Macedonia. And so the Greek army was the most efficient army at that time. And I know you've heard of Alexander the Great. He conquered all of Asia Minor, Turkey, in less than 2 years. About 334 to 333 B.C. He had 48,000, maybe 100 soldiers. 6,100 cavalry soldiers and 120 ships. And Alexander the Great defeated Darius III in the Battle of Issus in November of 333. He took control of the Persian Empire. That's why it's symbolized as a leopard with wings. And the wings also speak of speed. So, within about a 13-year period, Alexander, he conquered the world, marching as far as east as India. And this fellow died. Ironically enough, did you know that Alexander died at 33 years of age? Did you know? That's ironic, isn't it? And the four heads apparently set forth a division of the empire to four of Alexander's generals after his death. So now this brings us to the fourth beast. And this boy ain't good. He's a bad boy. He's a really bad boy. Because the Roman Empire is the fourth beast. A powerful, destructive, was different from the others, but and some of their bestial characteristics as well, described as dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong, and huge iron teeth. It's very different from the others. It's not presented or symbolized by an animal. It's called a terrible and powerful and exceedingly strong. It's got huge iron teeth and 10 horns. So it totally devoured and crushed and trampled down the former kingdoms. The beast is symbolic of the Roman Empire. It's the strongest and the most wicked of the empires. The 10 horns are the same as the 10 toes in chapter 2. If you've read that, they represent the 10 partitions of the final world empire. Did you know that in 1972, the United States was divided into 10 regions to match the 10 empires? They're planning all this even in the United States. Did you know that in 1943, and even up till today, that the world was divided into 10 regions? Some adjustment ever since, but always 10 regions. This empire, the Roman Empire, is the prophetic part. It followed the Grecian Empire, would cease, and then after a considerable space of time, it will be revived as well once again. Some people say it's the deadly wound, and it'll come back to life again. It is in this revived form, that it would be having 10 horns. 10 kings. And a little horn. Don't forget that little buckaroo. You know what that is? That comes out of the head. The future head of the revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist. That's who it is. Is it Nimrod? I don't know. Prince William? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you'll know when it happens. That's how the Bible's written. The prophecies let you know when it happens. Nobody can say, I've got it all right here. The prophecies, only for $25.95. You can send it off to me and buy it. No, it don't work that way. You see how God is? But you'll know when it happens. Now, we read further in this. And so, past the four beasts, verse 9, when you have Daniel there, he pictures the fifth and final world empire to keep going. The glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be given universal dominion. And this is the description of the Ancient of Days. It's kind of a mystery, isn't it? It resembles that of the Christ in Revelation 1. But this identification is a little obscured, though. If you go to verse 13. One like the Son of Man coming before the Ancient of Days. It's like, what? So it would read as if Christ was coming before himself, would it not? So, it's best to think of the Ancient of Days as being God. The Father is the Ancient of Days. One like the Son of Man would then be the Lord Jesus coming before the Father to be invested with the kingdom. Which would match the Ancient of Days sitting as a judge in court. Because that's what he's going to do at the Great White Throne Judgment. That little horn and his empire are destroyed. You go to verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So the other world empires cease, but the nations and people, they continue on. Like in verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. It's very simple. And the Lord Jesus has given universal dominion, a kingdom. The one shall never be superseded. And that we didn't read, but it's verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. How they mistake that? It's clear as a bell. And what's really interesting is there's really no mystery in the Bible. Because when you go to verse 7, 15 to 18, the Bible tells you what it is. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, asked him the truth of all this, and he told me, made me know the interpretation of the things. In Daniel 7:17, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in the head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That be the first 3.5 years. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That be Armageddon and millennium. What's so mysterious about that? Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first and shall subdue three kings. Family, it just goes on to tell you what it is. The Bible defines itself very simply, if people would only read it. And we move on to Daniel 7:19 and 22. He gets more detail. He makes special inquiry concerning the fourth beast, which surpasses the others in cruelty and ferocity. That'd be the Antichrist. He also wanted to know about the ten horns and the other horn before the three fell. He saw that little horn. And that little horn made war with the saints of the tribulation period. And that's until when? Armageddon. Until the Ancient of Days comes, ending the suffering and giving them the kingdom. Psalms 34:21, and the evil shall slay the wicked. And when he goes on through 7, well, let's just continue on. He shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Oh, wow, there you go. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it until the end. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is the everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto, Daniel 7:28, is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. You know, this unnamed interpreter of this scripture explained the fourth beast and the ten horns and the little pompous little horn. The latter part of it will blaspheme the Most High, persecute the saints. That talks about the Antichrist. He'll tend to change the Jewish calendar for 3.5 years. That's the great tribulation referred to by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:21. But what's going to happen to him? Eventually, he'll be stripped of his power, and the glorious everlasting kingdom of our Lord will be ushered in. And in this scripture, Daniel was amazed in wonderment. That's a very simple. Everybody makes it so difficult. What really gets kind of difficult, though, I admit, is we'll talk about tomorrow night when I get into it, Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks of Gentile supremacy, the time of the Gentiles. If the Jews, the Hebrew Jews, had carried out what God's plan was, if that's assuming it happened, we'd all be speaking just about Hebrew. It'd be a universal language, Hebrew, because God's word would be in Hebrew. But that's not what happened. They failed to bring his word, holy word, to mankind. That doesn't mean that they get scratched off the list. They were his bloodline, chosen, well, not his bloodline. Well, they were his chosen people at the beginning to bring God's word. That's why he divided the 12 tribes up into Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, and 12 tribes. Tribe of Dan and tribe of Ephraim got a little bit feisty there. They had to be canceled out, replaced by two more. That's a really long story short. But they got divided up, and they fought each other, and all kinds of things happened. And so the writing of the scriptures fell upon the Gentiles. At that time period, that ended up being Greek. Sounds Greek to me, don't you? Greece. Then there's a suppression of God's holy word, to say the least, until 1604. And this language of an enigma, a universal language called English, popped up somewhere. A universal language, by the way. I worked for the OSCE for 5 years, sister of the United Nations, so I worked for internationals and not America. Now, it didn't matter. If you were going to work for the OSCE or the UN in Kosovo, you had to speak English. Don't matter where you're from. If you can't speak English, you're not going to get a job there. English was a universal language. Actually, I speak two languages. I speak English, which is my second language, and American is my first. Yeah. Anyway, we Americans, we slash it, don't we? But English is a universal language. And in English, Jesus' name is, guess what? Jesus. if you're reading Hebrew script, a Hebrew book, and you're speaking Hebrew, his name would be Yeshua. If you're speaking the King James Bible in Chinese, it'd be Yasu. I can't spell Chinese except on a menu. And so, you see how it works? But that's not what they're trying to do. It's sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. They're really sneaky. They're trying to get everybody across the whole board, across the world, to call him Yeshua. Or Yahuwah. And you know why they're trying to do that? Because in disclosure, when the false prophet appears, he's going to call himself, and he is already, is Yeshua. And Yeshua is Sananda Emmanuel, a false prophet, a fallen angel, will lead the way for the Antichrist. As a channeled entity, Yeshua, conversation with Yeshua, October 2002 by Chandler. Quote, I'm the one who's been among you and who have come to know as Jesus. I am not the Jesus of your church tradition or the Jesus of your religious writings. I am Yeshua ben Joseph. I have lived as a man of flesh and blood. I did reach Christ consciousness. Oh, there we go. Before you, but I was supported in this by powers which are beyond your imagination at present. My coming was a cosmic event. I made myself available for this. It wasn't easy. I did not succeed in my endeavors to pass on to people the immensity of God's love. There's so much misunderstanding. I came too early, but someone had to come. My coming was like throwing a stone in a large fish pond. All fish flee and the stone sinks into the deep. There's ripples noticeable long and after though. One might say that the kind of consciousness I wish to convey did its work underground after that. And this rascal just keeps on and yakky, 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 yakky. And he talks about Christ consciousness at your new age. And it really gets kind of down and mean here when he says, I quote, I do not like the name Jesus much, for it has become so caught up with a distorted version of what I stand for. Jesus is owned by the church, traditions, and authorities. He's been molded to fit the interest of the church patriarchs for centuries. So much that the prevailing image of Jesus is now so far removed from what I represent that it'd be truly pleased me if you would just let it go and release me from that heritage. Unquote. Now you see what's coming? You see why now Billy Graham says everybody thinks they need a Christ, but you don't have to know the name of Jesus? You see why Oprah, significant in the depopulation plan. She's very high up. Very high up. Bill Gates level high up on deciding who lives and who dies. Ted Turner, several others in a certain committee that she's on for depopulation. Says you don't have to know the name of Jesus. All of them say that now. Now you know why. And what he's going to say when he appears on the public scene. And a great deception is coming. Man, don't be fooled by it. It's not going to be easy. Many Christians are going to fall away. They're going to be a little mad at their preacher. But the preachers expect that. You're going to find them falling away badly. So people will pull away from the church by design. When it says, I do not preach and I do not judge, that's exactly what Osteen says. That's exactly what Billy Graham says. And their requirement is, as ministers and preachers and evangelists, is to warn people about hell and what's going to send you there. You're not saying the individual, you're going to hell. But you're telling them, if you don't do this and that, you are going to hell. They're not doing that anymore because they're getting close to the New Age movement and the morphing into Christ consciousness. Ooh, they're sneaking up on us. Let me tell you what. Y'all get to know this and buckle up. Those are the four beasts. Tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the 70th week of Daniel. And I want to talk later on this week about the day of the Lord, Armageddon and so forth, and how the day of the Lord, which is extended over a period of time, falls into place after the first 3.5 years. It'll probably be Thursday, I imagine, Thursday or Friday. So, family, do your studying. Get with it. The seven kings. Seven kings. When I study the scriptures, I get many different commentaries and scriptures themselves. Balance it out. I find who's a theologian, a real one, who's not. And I balance it all out. That's how I do my study. Or just let the Holy Spirit tell you what it is later. Eventually he'll come around. The right time, he'll let you know what that part you didn't understand was. It'll click one day. That's why I carry a notebook with me where I go, so I don't forget. That's how he works. Well, we're going to conclude here. We're at the end of the program. Go back over what we talked about and start putting it in perspective. And if I missed something, let me know. We'll get more into it this week as well. And end times events, we'll talk about, because I see it. That was the third thing about trying to manipulate and fool people about the end times events being man-made instead of by God. That's what they're trying to do now, unfortunately. We're going to close in prayer. And here we go. Lord, thank you for tonight. We're able to come together for the study of your scripture and the end times events, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the insight that you've given us. Lord, that each one has taken away something different. But, Father, we know they're all come together. Father, we pray for the blood of Jesus to be covered over us this coming week. And also, Father, in the event that incidents may happen, that, Father, you give us words to speak, the divine appointment of which we can go to work. Fulfill thy will. We pray for many more Bible studies, Lord, and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, y'all, I'm going to let y'all know we're run randomly up at highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler is the owner of this radio.net, highpointradio.net. HERKALER and highpointradio@yahoo.com is his email. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com and Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I have my own personal one, Tom Gamble. Well, I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And tomorrow, the broadcast 4 to 6. And I just go with the flow. Once again, about feminism. I never saw so much connections in feminism and the Soviet agenda. It's just unbelievable. That's why I've chosen to stay on it. Because the connection, the New World Order, falls within it. And there's actually things people can do now, but within the family and close friends, to make a difference. It's not about stopping it. It's God's business. We do what we're supposed to do. Maybe you will. But there's no stopping it in the end time anyway, because judgment's got to befall this world. So it's not stopping it, it's delaying it. But they believe that God's kingdom is going to be here on earth. It's not. It's going to be in heaven. That's where your Rick Joyners and all of them are all wrong. Because the Bible says otherwise. Okay, well, thank you all very much for coming by, y'all. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. Any questions or comments or recommendations, send them to me by email. tgambletom@yahoo.com. That's tgambletom@yahoo.com. Or you can hit me on the Facebook. So tonight, you have a great night. Sleep well. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
The green.